Hey everyone, good morning and welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. Today we're talking about five carnivore myths busted, maybe busted, I don't know, we'll see. I'm titling the show that now, and that's a little bit late. I hope people get the correct one on YouTube, but anyway, I'm doing well. Birthday season is done, and that's always a good thing. I love the birthdays of the kids, but man, it was a long day yesterday. So was it on the home's birthday. It's just I don't know. A lot of stuff goes on.
What all do you do for your girls or your kids that make
it's not so much me. It's Erin, my wife. She really wants to do it up very nicely, and I love that she does that because the kids get this great experience every birthday, and she does almost all of the stuff, right? So I'm not complaining at all. It's just a lot. All the presents, all the wrapping, mm-hmm. Dinner gets made, cake gets made. The dinner I made is a Spanish stew thing that my daughter likes, but I did it all yesterday. I didn't make the chorizo the day ahead of time, plant-based chorizo, of course. So it was just a long process of doing that. And the decorations of the house, I don't know, we went to the pool because that's what Ellie wanted to do yesterday for her day. So we did that. And it just ends up being a long thing. I don't know. I don't know why it seems so much, but it is.
Sounds like a great day. Sounds like a really nice family day.
It is nice. I don't dislike it. It's just a lot of energy goes into it, and you just feel tired at the end of it.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So anyway, it's done now, but good. And she had a great day, and we had a fun day. It was all very good. Food was good. Cake, Spanish stew, all delicious.
Well, I am.
How are you doing? Feeling better?
No, man. I mean, I am. I'm feeling like yesterday, which is way better than I was a couple days ago. This is killing me. I don't know why I'm not better. It's been a week and a half now dealing with this cold or something. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just endlessly frustrating. I haven't been working out. I did yard work yesterday and that like totally wiped me out last night. So it makes me value my health a lot. Every time I'm not healthy, I'm like, man, I'm so glad that normally I'm healthy.
That's right. Yeah. Lingering illness is terrible. I've had a few of them in the past, a couple years. Mm-hmm. And it's just when you don't feel so terrible, but you just there's just a damper on everything you try to do and it goes on for weeks or months. That's terrible. No good.
Yeah.
I'm still dealing with a little bit of my thing too. Just feeling a little bit of that. And maybe that's why I was tired out by yesterday, but anyway, but not as bad as you. So I'm grateful for that. I saw a thing from Jason Fitzgerald the other day. I think he puts controversial things up. He used to be called Strength. I think he's still Strength Running. Running coach, friend of ours, did some partnership stuff with him. But anyway, he had a post up yesterday saying that, or it was a few days ago, saying that whenever he's running and he's in the really struggling through a long run or something, he thinks back to the times he was injured and how happy he is to be running and suffering while he's running compared to being injured and not able to run, which is a very frustrating thing. So perhaps when we're feeling stressed in our normal days and we're healthy, we should think back to how it feels to be sick and not able to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it makes me feel real grateful for,
yeah.
I mean, it makes me feel grateful for the time when I'm healthy, not so much like gratitude that I'm still sick and suffering now. But I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's just, I have not run. I've run one time in the last week and a half, and that is getting to me, I think.
Yeah, well, definitely. It does to you runners. You gotta run. I'm wearing a workout shirt today as if I did a workout within the past few weeks or months, but I haven't. I'm just out of laundry. So
just
this
going
is what
for the
I
white shirt
today.
2 days in a row. White tee.
The white look. Yeah, I do like a nice clean look. Mm-hmm. But no, I got to get back to working out. I can feel myself getting skinnier. I can feel muscle just going away. And I'm at the point where like now it's already hard to restart because I can feel I know how far behind I'll be when I get back in. And I just a few weeks ago spoke about how I was proud of that. I did a half workout one day when I was just, I just didn't want to lose ground. I figured just do something. But here I am. You get, I don't know, things get busy. Birthday season comes. And then now I'm, I don't know. I'm in the hole. Got to get back out there.
What do you bench, Matt?
So I got up to 235 in college. That was my one rep max, my best. And I set the goal for myself at the beginning of this year, I think, get back to that. And I got to 220. No, end of last year, I got to 220. And then I peaked. And then I had a little bit of an issue. I was having those headaches while I was working out. And so I stopped. Yeah. Anyway, so now I'm miles from that. But I was almost back to two. I'd like to get to 225. That's two wheels on each side of the bar. That good solid weight. My weight and a half. So I'd like to get back to that. But right now, one rep, I couldn't do 200, I don't think.
Do you do that at home? Do you not have a spotter on your rep max?
I have I don't know too much about the safety of this, but my bench has like what are called safety bars. And so like luckily it's right at the chest height. So I know from not being able to get it a few times that I can easily escape under there once if I can't lift it up.
Okay.
So that seems to be
glad to hear that, Matt. I would hate for you to be out of commission because you got your throat crushed.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be dead. yeah, I mean, I've had that experience a very little bit when a spotter in a gym has to come rush you, but never on my own have I ever risked that sort of thing because I know better. It's a terrible feeling.
I'm certain that you can bench more than I can, but maybe what we need to do is a percentage increase competition or something.
That'd be good. Internal. Be motivated to get back into it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. Let's organize that. We'll each do a test effort and then we'll see who can increase by, 30% of that or whatever.
Game on.
I have a dog barking. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm all alone right now.
We're getting lots of hellos. Mr. Jeffries here. Britters is here. Matt O'Connor, Carmen, Kelly K. QB75, Brandon Turner, Leslie Knight. Hello, everyone. Britters reminds us that it's day three of Cocodona.
Yeah, Britters is into Cocodona. I saw yesterday she said she was addicted to that live stream. How riveting could that be when they're running for 250 miles? Is there any action that ever like happens at any moment where you're like, oh man, big move happening right now?
Or is it just they do like, a lot of like they hang out at a lot of the aid stations and kind of interview people as they come in and stuff. It's interesting. Okay. I watched it for a little while yesterday. I had it on in the background. Jeff Browning is leading right now at mile 214, so he'll finish today. And then there's someone just a couple miles back from him, and then there's race for third right now too, neck and neck. So
is Jeff Browning a known ultra running name?
Oh yeah, Bronco, yeah. Bronco Billy, Bronco.
Like the new Anton or the new.
No, he's old. Jeff, I think, is over 50.
Is Killian over 50 yet?
Killian? No, he's in his.
Is he still 30s, considered a young buck, or is he old?
No, I mean he's seasoned now. He's not one of the young 20 somethings, but he's still the greatest. But no, Jeff Browning is well known in the 100-mile distance. He's older. I think he's over 50. He's good.
Okay.
And then Andrew Glaze, for all of those wondering, is let's see, where is he right now? I don't know. Where is Andrew?
Maybe drop. DNF. No shame in DNFing a 250 mile race, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right about that.
All right. Getting us an update, or is that's it? No closure on Andrew Glaze.
Here he is. He's at mile 142. So a little over 100 miles to go. He's got a ways to go. So it's a long, I mean, another long day and a half, at least 2 days, maybe.
This is an insane amount of running.
Yeah.
100 miler left, and you've done 150.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, good for them. So glad I'm not doing that. So glad I'm not one of those guys. But way to go. All right. What else? Reminder about Plantapalooza, right? Off to a banging start, Doug, I'm sure.
Off to a banging start. So many people are joining in, which means that the community is popping over on Facebook. Lots of fun happening there as we build up. So, and the resources. People are loving the free things you get when you sign up, which includes yoga videos, a workout plan, cookbooks, some nutrition guides, a meditation guide, all kinds of great stuff. When you join today, you get that stuff immediately. And then, of course, 21 incredible expert speakers, experts in the field of fitness and nutrition, and medical doctors, registered dietitians, a lot of big names.
A-list names.
A-listers.
I mean, they are.
If you think it's cool to listen to us talk, wait until you see who's going to be talking at Plantapalooza. So head over to lovecompliment.com, join. It's absolutely free to join. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
All right, good. And when do those interviews begin?
The 21st. So 21st. We got 2 weeks of promotion ahead.
You got to go consume the freebies first.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, good. Okay, good. Good update. I think I don't have too much. I'm going to stand up really quickly and close my door because people are home.
Mr. Jeffrey asked if the Plantapalooza interviews will go up on the outlier feed. They will not. No, we're not doing that this year. Maybe one of them, but not all of them.
So you got to go opt in if you want them.
That's right.
Private walled garden community content. Not for the public. Not up here to have these carnivore people come on YouTube or whatever and leave comments and say, you guys are terrible. All that. That's right. But today's revenge day. Today we're talking about 5 carnivore diet myths busted. And this is third hand hard hitting news because Mike the Vegan put a video up, 24 minute long video. Then Plant Based News covered it, summarized it, and now we are going to filter it one more time through us. So what could be better than that?
Mike the Vegan.
It actually is interesting.
I like Mike the Vegan a lot. Did you watch the video? I didn't watch it, but he's hilarious.
I did watch this one. About 20 minutes of it. I've heard of him plenty. I think Robert went on a show and promoted our book, Plant Based Athlete, when it came out. Speaking of which, his book is either out or really soon to be out. Robert's new one. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever heard of Mike the Vegan. I didn't really recognize his voice or name or face when I watched the thing today. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. It's an interesting, I learned more about the carnivore diet than I've learned at any point. So
nice.
We'll talk about it. Okay. Looking at Robert Cheek's book really quick, just feel like obligated to give that update. He's my co-author. It's The Impactful Vegan. It comes expected on June 25th. So still a month and a half till that comes out. Be on the lookout. How to make an impact.
What's it about?
It's about how to spread the vegan message in a way that is good
and impactful,
right, and effective. When he stayed here about a year ago now, he talked to me a lot about it. And it was actually very interesting. I'll be excited to read it.
Cool. We should have him on.
Oh, yeah. For sure we will. All right. Let's jump into weather report. Not a whole lot today, but then we'll get into the Mike the Vegan 5 myths to be busted in just a minute. All right. The news is that DEA, U.S. dairy-free brand DEA, which most people will call DEA, they've launched a new dry powdered mac and cheese mix in 3 flavors, white cheddar, cheddar, and aged cheddar. I saw this and I thought, wait a minute, this isn't news. I just had this like a month ago.
You had the Velveeta version.
Right. It wasn't the dry powdered. It was just the gel, the already made stuff. And it's interesting that we could be excited about a dry powdered version. Like that sounds like a step down, but based on how that diet thing was that I ate, I think only any direction you could go is up because it was not very good. And the original, the Kraft mac and cheese that everyone knows and loves, the blue box, that was powder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this actually sounds like a step up to me because I'm really not a fan of that that gelled version. But it's part of it's the noodles too, the gluten-free noodles. Do you know?
Yeah, they do gluten-free.
Is this one gluten-free too?
Yeah, this is gluten-free pasta as well, and so was that. And I mean, I understand the gluten-free person sees that and loves it. And maybe there are a lot of gluten-free vegans because if you're one, maybe you're kind of likely to be the other. Cause I don't know, same walk in the same circles, or run in the same circles, but I don't know. It's just like you niche down so much and like you've already taken out some things that people consider good. And now you take out something else people consider good and you're left with, I don't know. It's hard to get excited about that. Anyway. Once the pasta is cooked, you stir dairy-free milk and butter together in a saucepan. So you need to have those extra ingredients now on hand. I don't always have dairy-free butter on hand for sure.
Oh, really?
I guess we have Earth Balance often, but sometimes it's in the freezer and stuff. So it's just not that easy to get to.
You usually have
almond milk. Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. All right. And then it's going to be available $5 starting in May. That's this month in the U.S. in stores such as Walmart. So
I think good that's news. Pretty standard. I mean, I think the Kraft version has milk and butter in it.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. They just seem more like staples that like an omnivore would have. And I don't know if every vegan household keeps those things all the time. Maybe they do. I don't know.
I'd be curious. of everybody who's watching, do you have vegan butter on hand?
And vegan milk. I mean, you probably have vegan milk, but if you don't eat cereal, if I didn't eat cereal, I wouldn't have vegan milk in my house. I guess for the kids, I would. No, that's what they use it for too.
I mean, the only thing we use it for is milk. I mean, for cereal, pretty much.
Yeah, and I don't think everybody eats cereal. Although if you eat oatmeal, maybe you use it for that. So I guess it's probably not that rare. Anyway, that's happening. By the way, I had a Blackbird pizza yesterday for Ellery's birthday. Aaron had found them. I think they were at Whole Foods. And I'll give it a pretty good rating. It was not great. Wasn't bad.
The toppings,
I think it was, God, I don't know. It was definitely bell peppers and onions on there. I don't know if there was any, I don't think there was any vegan meat on there, but it might have been crumbled. I don't know.
Okay.
So it was okay. Blackbird. We've seen them a lot. They've come up several times because I always thought it was Blackbird from Philadelphia, which is a restaurant that serves pizza.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
But it's not them. And I think they're in New York. Anyway, moving on. Up next, the world's grandest sport event, according to this site, the Olympics. Hey, my music. There we go. It's coming. July 26th.
Of course it is. You sound like you don't believe that statement.
Well, I don't know. I just, it sounds like, I forget what website I took this from, but it just sounds like very, they just assume that no questions asked, self-evident truth. This is the world's greatest sporting event. I don't know. If you could like a certain sport that's not in the Olympics, and then you'd have a real beef with that statement.
True. That's true. The disc golf world championship could be grander.
Yeah. Or this 250 mile race.
Yeah, that's true. Cocodona could be grander.
But I guess in terms of scale and number of athletes and all that, it's probably hard to beat the Olympics. It's coming soon, a month and a half away. Is that right? No, 2 months and a half away. July 26th in Paris, where now you can get vegan croissants, so that's good. But in addition to that, 60% of the food served at the event, this is according to Express UK, will be vegetarian, with 80% of those dishes sourced from local produce in France. So that's kind of cool. I like both of those facts, that 80% sourcing and French. Now, if it's and vegetarian, if it's just vegetarian and not vegan, although there's a quote in a minute about vegan, you have to imagine it's just going to be loaded with butter and cheese because it's right. French. And that's right. French cooking, at least classical French cooking is. I don't know about modern or what they do and this kind of stuff. It's catered by Sodexo, Sodexo. I never know how to say their name. If it's Sodejo or Sodexo.
I think of them as being US based. Maybe they're not, but
I think of them as being Mexico based, like Aztec thing with the X in there, but I don't know which there. Anyway, it's Sodexo Live, the French food service company chosen to manage the catering here. They've got 500 recipes they've developed. Sit-down eatery catering up to 3,500 competitors at the place. I think the fans get this as well. And the person in charge, Estanguet, I don't know who he is, but he said, it's our responsibility to educate the people who will be engaged in Paris 2024, collective duty to change our habits, definitively reduce our carbon footprint. So when you buy food in the venue, you should also try the vegan food that is served because in terms of taste, it's very good. So there will be some vegan food. Not all the vegetarian things will be vegan. They mentioned a few options, meat-free hot dogs, falafels, and plant-based tuna options. I'm guessing those mostly would be vegan. They wouldn't put butter in those. So, good, cool. It sounds like vegan is cool again a little bit.
Do you think, if you're cooking for people from literally all over the world, every single religious background,
right. Yeah.
Do you think that just making offering a lot of vegetarian options is kind of just a safe way to accommodate?
Yeah, that's a good point. Unless you get the people who are carnivore types who say, well, this food is inedible to me because it doesn't contain
steak. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not talking about dietary preferences. I'm talking about just like people who, I don't know. I mean, you think about different
right.
rules around food in different religions and different cultures.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, I don't know, you would imagine something like pasta or rice. These things are like universal foods that are just everywhere. Everyone has some form of them. So yeah, that's a good point. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah, it is good. And more good news. I read this one. I couldn't believe this. When I typed in plant-based diet news today, as I always do to begin research, actually I do that after vegan news. This came up four times in a row, four straight things. First four listings were all papers, UK papers reporting this. And that is that a third of carnivores would consider switching to a vegan diet if restaurants offered more plant-based options. So I think they're not saying carnivores. They mean omnivores when they say this. Carnivore is now a thing, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But people used to just use the terms interchangeably. What they mean here is omnivore.
Okay.
Anyway, one third of those said they would switch if restaurants offered more plant-based options. They surveyed 1,000 non-vegans. 78% already opt for meat-free days, averaging 2 per week. This is hard for me to believe. I just don't, it just, I mean, it doesn't compute to me that that would happen. 30% of them are acknowledging the environmental benefits of eliminating the animal products. Half believe it's crucial for eateries to offer a broad range, encourage health, for, you know, for a lot of reasons. And this, here's the catch. This was sponsored, commissioned by Viva as part of its 50 by 25 campaign, which urges restaurants to ensure half of their menu is vegan by the end of 2025. So massive potential bias in this survey results. I mean, of course they're going to say as much, whatever it takes to get the restaurants to want to add vegan food. So not really that surprising that the headlining stat that came out of this is that people would go vegan if there was only more plant-based options in restaurants.
You know, the problem with, I'm not saying that, I have no idea where these stats came from, but you got to wonder, was this like a survey on their website or on their social media or something like that, where people who, the only people who are viewing it are people who are open to a plant-based diet or vegetarian food. You know, I hate it when CNN or Fox News says like, we polled our readers and they say this about, you know, Trump or something like that. And you're like, well, yeah, I mean, like you've been feeding them that information for the last 24-hour news cycle. And now you're-
And often they only answer the poll, especially when you see the poll question ahead of time and you only answer it if you have a strong opinion
about
the thing. I mean, it's not science at all. So that's the problem with this. I'm surprised actually that it got on four different newspapers or four things in the listings.
But if it's true, I mean, heck yeah, that's awesome.
If it's true. You think 78% of people average two meatless days per week?
No, I don't think that. And I also don't think a third would switch to a vegan diet. See, vegan diet, it would switch to a vegan diet. Now, I could potentially believe that a third of people would choose, or at least self-report that they would choose more plant-based options if more plant-based options were available.
So this is self-reporting, right? We don't know about people, how many would actually make the switch if it was time. If the restaurants did add the meals and then people say, okay, go ahead and switch now, we'll see how many of those people actually would then stick by their word of the ability to switch. But the other problem is what you said, that I forget what it was, but yeah, it's just not, we're just not believing it.
Okay, but here's the cool thing, I guess, is that this is making news, right? I mean, that people might believe that.
Yeah.
And and you know, any sort of positive news and outlook on the plant-based diet right now is a huge win in my book.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was surprised to see this at all, because, and surprised to see papers reporting on it, because people just generally don't want to say nice things about vegan diets. So good. Glad they are, like you said. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's it. That's the weather report. No, I got two more things. I've added them later on in the planning today. Do you know about the famous order menu at McDonald's, Doug?
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't either. But apparently it's popular in the U.S. At least the plant-based news thinks it's popular in the U.S. because they said it's long established in the United States. They're introducing it in McDonald's, Germany. Two internationally known musicians, which they might be internationally known, but they're not known by me. twins Bill and Tom Kaulitz of the rock band Tokyo Hotel. Do you know that band, Doug? They don't spell Tokyo like a normal person. They spell it T-O-K-I-O.
I don't. I do not know that band.
Well, one is the husband of Heidi Klum. They both seem like old dudes. So I seems like if we would have heard of them, we would have heard of them in 1995. So I just don't imagine what they did.
A German music band from 2001.
A what kind of band?
Just German music band.
Oh, so they're German guys. Okay. All right, so they're crafting unique McPlant menus for a rollout, and this is the Beyond Meat McPlant Burger Patty and McPlant Nuggets. You can't get them in the U.S., but they'll be featured here. Travis Scott, Mariah Carey, and BTS have all had their own famous order selections in the USA, and now these twins are doing it in Germany. Bill has his is a McPlant Mango Chili, which doesn't really sound good at all to me. I mean, mango chili sounds pretty good, but with a like beef-like burger, I don't see how that works. But whatever. With curly fries and a vanilla milkshake, and he enjoys dipping his fries in the vanilla milkshake. He's one of those guys.
Ooh.
Cannot possibly, I mean, I can't relate anymore. I'm just, this is an unrelatable person to me. I'm sure, Doug, you're now like his best friend.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing that last night.
You probably prefer tater tots to dip into the milkshake, though, I would guess, for ultimate taste.
Yeah, that's true. I would probably put a spoon, get the vanilla milkshake, and then put the tater top on top and have the perfect bite.
Yeah. Have you ever dipped a tater tot in anything that's not meant to be a condiment?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
All right, good.
But I'm not saying I'm above it. That's for sure.
Right. Okay. Meaty Foods, more news. They're expanding into 2,000 more retail locations. I like this. That means 6,000 locations total. I still like Meaty. They do the mycelium, the mushroom root fiber protein stuff. It seems like a very clean label of this protein. So assuming we don't get any major bad health news about this stuff, I like this. This almost seems like whole food plant-based meat. And I'm into that. So they're significantly increasing their presence in Kroger family stores, as well as other retailers where they already are, Super Target, Sprouts, Whole Foods, and Major, or something like that. So that's good. They also raised $100 million in their Series C1 funding round. So they're making moves. They seem to be one of the bright spots in the plant-based meat world right now, which is still doesn't have a lot of bright spots.
I've still yet to find it.
Yeah. Well, Whole Foods is your place to go get it.
Yeah, I know. I just don't ever go there. I should, though.
Or Super Target. You ever go to Super Target?
I don't even know if we have a Super Target. You go to Target every once in a while.
Yeah. I don't think there's a Super Target mm-hmm. in that area.
Is there a Sprouts in Asheville?
In Asheville? No, I don't think there. I don't think there is.
Yeah, I don't think so either, yeah.
Maybe Earth Fair would have it.
Maybe.
All right, and last up, Doug, you will be happy to hear that Tacotarian, the plant-based taqueria chain, they're launching a line of shelf-stable vegan taco fillings ready to heat and eat. And they say it's in response to a growing demand for sustainable plant-based foods. I didn't know there was a growing demand for that, but good. Hope there is. Glad somebody thinks so. They've got two of them, jackfruit barbacoa and jackfruit fruit birria. What is that? B-I-R-R-I-A.
Don't know.
Is it like a brewery place? No, that's a cerveceria. Beef birria. I don't know. It's some sort of dish. Meat stew. It's a meat stew kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, they're making that. And I've never heard of this place before, but it won a Veg News Veggie Award for being best vegan taco place. They've sold 900,000 tacos to date. They're in Las Vegas, San Diego. I mean, that seems like a must visit to you, Doug. If you're going to be on a West Coast trip, you must do this. I guess not LA, which is where you were. But yeah, Tacotarian. It's a good move for them.
I mean, I kind of
do this. Suddenly, awareness.
I start calling myself a Tacotarian.
Right, you should. I mean, this is kind of good for a restaurant. Like, I don't know what a nightmare it is to get in retail and have stuff selling. But now, if I was out there, I'd be like, "Well, I'm going to go to this place because now I know about this place,
right.
And I wouldn't have otherwise known about that." And the retail, the news, and whatever, you know, gets on the people's radar. So that's okay, I guess. We recently bought like vegan ground beef from Trader Joe's that was in a bag like this. And it's like shelf stable thing. And you put a little water and heat it in a pan and it heats up. Apparently I never actually ate it. We got it. And it's
like dried.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We tried that. And I actually didn't care for it very much. The version we got.
Yeah. I can imagine it wouldn't be that good. Mm-hmm. That's why I haven't eaten it. All right. And last up for this, what turned out to be a long weather report, Chunk Foods, they're unveiling the largest plant-based meat slab. So that's good, I guess. I don't know if this is a Guinness World Record situation or highway roadside attraction or what, but they're unveiling it at the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago and weighs over 3 pounds, which doesn't seem that big. I mean, I thought this was
yeah, like, sounds really small. What's a meat slab? What, like a...
I guess it's just one huge piece of plant-based meat. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
We could get this record, Doug, if we want.
I feel like we could totally chase that record.
Just make a huge roll of Beyond Beef and then we could beat it.
I probably ate more than 3 pounds of Beyond sausages.
Yeah, you probably did. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be my first move if in this climate where everyone is just so down on the plant-based meat stuff to say, well, we're going to make the world's largest. That'll show them. But that's what they're doing. So way to go, Chunk Foods. I've never had a Chunk Foods product. I would like to. I think they're the ones that got into a couple steakhouses.
Mm.
So there you go. All right, there's your weather report. Anything to check in on, Doug, with the comments? I have not been.
No, Mr. Jeffrey says that the birria is a type of taco. Big Meaty X Claws says birria is so good. Mr. Jeffrey follows that up. Made from slow stewed lamb, and then the shell is dipped in a consomme, and it's really greasy and rich. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, it does sound pretty good. Sounds like it'd be really easy to replicate that with dried crumbles in a bag.
Yeah, it seems like an odd one to focus on, but you know.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, who knows? All right, on to the feature article of the day. This is from Plant-Based News. Top carnivore myths debunked by Mike the Vegan. He doesn't write it. He just did the original video, and then Plant-Based News is interpreting it. Or summarizing it. So we'll run through these myths really quickly. We'll talk about them in a minute. You say you like Mike the Vegan. I don't know about him. They called him a vegan science writer. Am I saying that correctly? Let me see. Yeah, vegan science writer, Mike the Vegan. And you start watching him, and he's you know, digging into the science. He especially digs into the Reddit posts and looks at what people say on there and about the carnivore diet, the problems they complain about. But I don't, he's not like a credentialed kind of guy, right? Nutritionist or RD or anything like that?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Okay. Which I don't mean to take anything away from him because this is hard work he's doing. He's really diving into stuff and he's fighting with people and putting out information. Now, you know, the carnivores are going to be all over this guy for this. They probably already have left a billion comments, I'm sure. But I don't know. It's just like, it's a kind of bold move, like getting this deep into the nutrition stuff as a without any credentials and just kind of being an amateur guy. But I guess we need those people.
He has a master's in public health.
Okay, well that's something. That's good. But anyway, he goes through some stuff. Like I said, this is the first I've really learned a lot of the stuff about the carnivore diet. I wish it wasn't Mike the Vegan doing this. I wish a relatively neutral party, which I don't even mean relatively neutral. I mean someone kind of just like from the traditional health world, like a doctor who recommends a lot of vegetables, but also some meat, like whatever, someone like that. I'd like to see them talk about this carnivore diet because I can just believe it more because, you know, Mike the Vegan's his name's Mike the Vegan. His channel is called Mike the Vegan. He can't say, yeah, there's something to this carnivore diet, or like, at least they've got this thing. So it's like automatically we know it's an anti carnivore thing. And that makes it hard to put a whole lot of stock in it for me. But, I don't know. You agree, Doug, or you think, these guys on our side.
I don't entirely agree. I mean, obviously, a neutral party is going. There's going to be a lot of weight in that behind that for sure. But I think that vegans can critique other diets just as other diets critique the vegan diet.
Yeah, for sure. It just to me, it kind of falls into the category of diet fighting, where all we're going to do is find what's wrong with that. All they're going to do is find what's wrong with ours, instead of. I don't know. And so that's really what I give this guy credit for. I guess you can call it that. It's one of the things where like, I wouldn't want to be doing it. I wouldn't. And that's probably why I have the views I do. Like, I don't want to be in this fighting world saying that one's wrong and ours is right. And here's why. And like, that just seems like not really very much fun at all, but I guess some people really like that. So good for Mike the Vegan.
But you can't discredit someone just because they, you know, you can't say that just because you're a vegan doesn't mean you can't talk about the.
Right. No, I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying if I got to pick a source to choose, I'm choosing the one that doesn't appear to have biases built in. I don't know how right he is, but if it were him against a neutral guy, before I see anything they say, I'm saying I'm going with the neutral guy. I'm trusting them probably a little bit more. Yeah. But that's just me. So a lot of vegans would say I'm trusting the vegan guy more because I don't trust traditional nutrition. Right. Someone is vegan, they're in my camp and they that's who I want to listen to. Anyway, whatever. Let's get into the myths. Number one, meat alone provides all necessary nutrients. So I guess this is meat. The carnivore, by the way, they seem to like model the lion, and they say that like the lion is sort of the person who's the person creature whose diet we should model. So I guess if that's really the idea, it's not surprising that a human would become deficient in things. He points out vitamin B1, folate, vitamins A, C, D, E, and K are all found in abysmally low quantities in the meat-only diet. That's plant-based news's word. He didn't say they were all abysmal. There was only one that he said was abysmal. The rest were like a little bit low. Some were very low, but not all abysmally low. That's an exaggeration there. He said B1 deficiency can cause symptoms such as irritability and poor memory. And he pointed to some famous carnivores who have actually said on their Twitters, you know, that they have some of these issues, not irritability and poor memory, but low folate levels. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not surprised. A carnivore can do the same thing with a vegan, right? They can point to the six things that we put in complement and say, well, right, it's abysmally low in those things.
And they do.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, I don't know what to think about this. He does point out that the carnivores often use the defense. There's very little science against this thing. And he says the reason there's no science for it, there's no science on it. There's just almost none. Mm. So all we can do is theorize. We can just say, you know, this looks like a bad or good thing because of how many vitamins it's providing. And I guess what happens in the short term, what does happen in the short term, and this brings us to myth number two, is what the carnivores say is oxalate dumping. And that is the idea that, you know, the plants, of course, have these oxalates, these anti-nutrients, these horrible things that are an actual problem for some people with specific kidney conditions. That's an important thing. You would need to monitor oxalate intake, plant-based news says. But, you know, the vast majority of people, I don't think that's typically a problem for. A lot of people eat plant-based diets without any issues. But the carnivores will say, like, any sort of bad side effects that are happening when you go carnivore, they're saying, well, that's just the oxalate dumping. And once you're done with that, then you'll be good. But you're in this sort of purification process. And that's what's going to explain, you know, diarrhea and all kinds of different stuff that happens happens to a lot of people when they switch to a carnivore diet. So he's basically saying it's just not a thing. There's not really any science saying that this is bad. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've heard this forever from the keto crowd saying oxalates are terrible. But the new thing here, right, this keto flu idea, that they say you're going to have headache, you're going to have all this stuff while your body's purifying. And that's a tough argument. I mean, if you trust it, good. But he had found a bunch of people on Reddit who, you know, been weeks or months with this stuff and like it just wasn't going away. And people kept saying, well, it's just your oxalate dumping. Once it's a good sign, it means you're purifying. So I don't know. All right, here's a big one for me. Because I'm trying to be, all right, as I watch this, I try to be as neutral as possible. I hope people can guess, like, I really try not to have a vegan bias. Obviously, I do. Right? I'm going to. It's hard. You can't avoid it entirely. But I tried to listen, and I thought, okay, there's not science for or against this thing. So I can't make arguments this is bad for you, because I don't really know, right? I haven't seen the evidence that this is, over the long term, this is bad for you. Just like you can't really say, over the long term, this is good for you. All you can do is based on theory. We don't have empirical evidence. We can say, based on what this is, or based on the story of how we're meant to eat, this is good or bad. The argument that it's good breaks down with this one. The myth is that reliance on electrolyte supplements is normal. And I didn't realize this, but one of the things that they do to counteract this supposed keto flu is they have to be taking in lots and lots of electrolytes, specifically sodium. And people, there's a lot of, you know, carnivore influencers saying, carnivores need more sodium than normal people. You should be supplementing with this element, LMNT, which, yep. I think he said Lion Man needs this is what it should stand for, or something like that. I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, his whole thing is you don't see lions having to go around eating electrolyte supplements, right? This diet is natural for them. And the fact that they don't take these electrolyte supplements is good evidence that it works for them. But the fact that someone trying to replicate that, a human trying to replicate that diet, that they have to take electrolyte supplements in order to feel good. That's kind of, to me, a problem. And here's why it's different from vegan. Yes, vegans have to take B12 and other things in order to stay healthy. But we have a lot of that empirical evidence on our side, right? That's the huge difference. To me, I don't care about the theory or what stuff you have to take. If this is the thing that the evidence is showing is good for you, then you know, then it doesn't matter to me if I have to take some supplements with it. But now you've got a situation where this is breaking down the argument that this is that a carnivore diet is natural, because you have to take something, you have to take a supplement, something else that you're not going to find in great quantities in nature. You have to take that. I don't know. Then like you'd say, okay, well, yes, you do, but the empirics, the evidence shows that this is good, but there is not that evidence right now, for good or bad. So like we're just relying on the fact that this seems like a natural thing to some people, and yet you can't do this. So you have to have the electrolytes. So you follow me there, Doug?
Mostly. I mean, but I would say a lot of vegans say that, you know, it's natural to be vegan too, right? I mean.
Yeah, they do. I don't. I don't think it is. I mean, I think that's why we need to take supplements.
Right. Same. I agree with you there. I do think that there are plenty of vegans that do make that argument. And
yeah. Oh yeah. They're
different. So there we're no different than the carnivore diet. But I mean, I firmly believe that pretty much everyone needs to take supplements, you know, no matter what your diet is, because you're probably lacking in some things. And depending on what your diet is, you take different supplements. So, like to me, it's not a big deal that they would take an electrolyte supplement, I guess, except unless their argument, like you said, is that this is the natural thing to do. We shouldn't, you know, it's right. More natural than a plant-based diet, for example, or any other diet. And yet you still have to take supplements.
Yeah, right. So that that is a potential weakness for me. Now, again, I feel like I'm compelled to say this. If the evidence comes out over time, if they somehow do start studying this, or if they already have and these studies come in, and they say that this thing turns out to be healthy over the long term for a lot of people, then it gets on equal footing with plant-based, right? Because then we'd have the same thing. We have something else that also requires supplements, and also over the long term looks healthy. But until that happens, I'm not buying this. I guess I buy a little more bulletproof argument that something is natural, even if there's no long term evidence for it. But this is a big you know, shortcoming there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, on to the next one from Mike the Vegan. Myth 4: high LDL cholesterol is harmless on a carnivore diet. So LDL, of course, is the one that we want to be low. You know, there's been a lot of stuff. What we believe about LDL when we were kids is not the same as what people believe now. People now know, I think, pretty much for sure that taking in cholesterol in the form of food doesn't really do much to raise it in your body. So that's not the problem. The problem is when your body produces it in response to a bunch of, you know, inflammatory things in your food or whatever other things might cause the elevated cholesterol. So I guess the carnivore people, I don't know if they all are, but I knew people were doing this. I didn't know it was the same group as the carnivores, but people calling into question the very idea that high LDL is bad. And they're saying it's actually fine to have this. And Mike the Vegan talks about some people having 800,000, you know, 800 or 1,000 as their LDL level, when traditionally 100 is considered the good safe level you want to shoot to be below. So, you know, once that happens, you can't really get into arguments anymore. I mean, then you start talking about, you know, which biomarkers matter and which, I'm sure of all the vitamins that were listed as deficient, people could start to point to certain of those and say, yeah, well, that actually doesn't need to be as high as people say. You know, it could be 50% and you're fine. Like once those rules become, you know, not solid, I don't know how you have these arguments. They're just, it's really hard. So that's why I don't know about envy, but respect what they're trying to do when they fight about this stuff.
Yeah. 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 I mean, at this point, like, you can't argue. Makes it almost impossible.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, the traditional, like, medicine is absolutely correct, that LDL should be low and that there are no situations in which having a higher one would be good or safe. I don't know enough to know that. Like, I just don't. So, like, what I would tend to do is default to what is the traditional recommendation. That is not to have very high LDL. But, I mean, it's not that they couldn't be right. It's just that once we can start arguing about like which markers are actually important and which ones are faulty, it just becomes a huge, that's why nutrition science is hard. It's just, I don't know, frustrating, you know, in that way. By the way, I mentioned vitamin deficiencies. He actually pointed out early, one of these people he found, or maybe it was more than one, actually had low B12, because you talked about everyone needing supplements, perhaps even non-vegans, when it comes to, well, that people say that a lot about B12, that even vegans or even non-vegans should be taking B12. And at least in some cases, that appears to be true. Also, by the way, it seems to me like carnivore, he said the 2 pounds of steak is sort of the carnivore standard goal for a lot of people who eat this way. He said there's not a reason they can't eat fish because they also were very low in omega-3s. They basically had zero omega-3 levels for some of these people. And I guess I thought some amount of beef would have that, like certain types. I don't really know. But apparently not. And he said, there's no reason these people couldn't eat fish. But it's just like this whole diet is like just for some reason obsessed with the eating of ruminant animals, I think he said, which is like, you know, cow or beef or whatever. So
even not chicken. I mean, what does a typical day on a carnivore diet look like? I don't even know.
Right. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't know much about it before I watched this, and I still don't know much about it.
Heart.
But I just think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of red meat. I think that's the gold standard sort of thing. I'd love for someone to clear that up because I actually don't know. I don't know. But as I watch this, I realize this is not just I said this a few months ago. It used to be this a little goofy thing on social media that some people did, like Liver King did or some others. It's a huge thing now. This is a diet now. And there's all kinds of experts and expert influencers. And I'm sure people who are Paul Saladino, right? MD types. This is no longer just a little thing. There are a lot of people who think this is really healthy. And I don't know enough to say they are wrong. Like I said, I'm not going to say that until empirical evidence shows us that they are. But it would be scary for me to go off and do something that is so different. Now, I know people are going to say, well, vegan's so different. But it has a lot of that empirical evidence on its side, in my opinion. All right, last one. Myth 5, scurvy and vitamin C deficiency aren't concerns. And they're saying that is a myth. Therefore, these things actually are concerns. We mentioned this before. Mr. Jeffrey said that if you eat raw meat, you avoid scurvy. I don't know if it contains vitamin C or if it's some other way by which it avoids it, but I also don't know how Mr. Jeffrey possibly knew that, but he said it. So who knows? But in this case, they're saying they actually are important. You have to get vitamin C. It's scarce in meat. And a lot of historical and contemporary case reports of scurvy on meat-only diets underscore this importance of this nutrient. So I don't know what to make about that. I didn't watch that far into the video, so I don't know how much more evidence there is there. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Doug? Are you sold? Do we feel more strongly that the carnivore diet is not a good choice after this, or about the same because we knew vegans would find these things wrong with it?
I mean, well, about the same, but you know, I mean, I think it's good to bust some myths, of course, and to provide some evidence-based responses to some of the myths. But you know, in my opinion, most of these are around deficiencies, and of course, the diet that is, primarily meat, no vegetables, is going to be deficient in things. That just seems so obvious to me. So, I guess none of it is a huge surprise. I did just Google carnivore diet meal plan, and this is the first thing that comes up. Just to give you an idea. Day one, breakfast, steak and eggs. Lunch, salmon and fried pork. Snack, cottage
cheese. That's good. I mean, it's good that they're including that.
Yep, fish, yep. Snack, cottage cheese, dinner, ground beef patties. Day two, feta cheese omelet for breakfast, chicken thighs and cheddar cheese for lunch, more cottage cheese for snack, and ribeye steak for dinner. So, I mean, it just seems like it's eggs, cheese, and fish, I guess, and a lot of beef.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's more variety than I actually thought there was. I thought it was literally almost just only red meat. I'm sure there are varieties of it that are that, but I don't know. I would think some of the eggs and fish would give you some different nutrients that the meat itself doesn't. So I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly what variant of it he was talking about here, but there you go. You know what's interesting though? That when there is no evidence, good or bad, about this, you have to appeal to theory. And the theory that the carnivores are going to, I guess, is, you know, lions eat this way. And for whatever reason, whatever they can say about human anatomy or evolution, they can say, we're also meant to eat this way. We're an alpha carnivore, whatever, alpha something in the food chain. That's theory. But then on the other side, vegans can point to theory that says it's bad. And that's the theory that you need all these certain levels of vitamins and that this stuff doesn't provide that. And then we even get a little bit of empiric stuff when we look at blood levels of carnivores, and that's what Mike the Vegan did here, and say they don't have enough of these things, this will lead to long-term problems, you know, eventually. So it's kind of interesting that, like, I don't know, like, all we have is theory to appeal to. We don't have any data, and you can find arguments on either side. So,
yeah.
That.
A couple comments. Mr. Jeffrey says, I heard about it, meaning I think this is the vitamin C thing. I heard about it on a food science podcast. It's because vitamin C is in meat, but it gets destroyed when it's cooked, like all vitamin C does.
Okay.
QB75 says there's subgroups now. There's the lion's diet, which is okay. Just red meat and nothing else. Carnivore is animal products of any kind, and animal-based is majority animal products with some plant matter. And I think that that's now what Paul Saladino is, because he eats, I want to say bananas or, you know, some sort of fruit.
That seems like a huge insurance policy. Like, if you're going to do something with no evidence on its side, eat some stuff, right? And I'm not saying this so that you reduce your meat consumption, because I don't care. You increase your meat consumption if you want, but get some plants in there to avoid some of these concerns. And that would be, I don't know, like, I don't want to say a responsible way to do it, but if I were doing this, I would certainly do that.
Yeah.
Or take a multivitamin or something that has it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And yeah, Taborland says, is there any fiber in this diet? I don't know. I don't know enough about it. So people can and will probably say we are uneducated about this thing, and we are. I don't know anything about it, but it seems like there's none, right?
Yeah, not from what I'm seeing.
And it's just another like thing on traditional medicines. Like, that's one of few things that seems to hold up under a lot of scrutiny. Like, it is important. It's a very simple thing. It is important to have a lot of fiber in your diet. But who knows? That, you know, that has come from studying all kinds of diets that aren't this one. So maybe the carnivores would say this is an exception. I don't know. Don't know what to say.
You gonna do it, Matt? You gonna switch?
Yeah. No. If I weren't vegan at all, if I had no like ethical reason for wanting to be vegan or business tie-in with vegan, I'm thinking, would I be tantalized by this? Because I've felt that way before with diets and like want to do something like this. Sounds like a miracle. I don't think so. I'd be afraid of it. I'd be afraid of these issues that we've talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I could be convinced by the right person then if I had no ethical, no ties to veganism. I guess I could be convinced to do a vegetable version of it that has some vegetables.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seems hard.
I don't know. That animal-based like sounds kind of like a keto diet.
Do people enjoy what they're doing, or does it get really hard? Like, do they really crave carbohydrates for a while when you're only taking in protein and fat?
I don't know. Good question. I would miss my carbs for sure. Love carbs.
Yeah.
Talk about restrictive. I mean, I guess it's possible you go to a restaurant and just order meat, no sides. But like, I think it'd almost be harder to do that than vegan in a lot of places. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you might be right. We can't say. We've been eating this way for a long time, so we don't know. Taborlin P99 says vegan carnivore, 100% fake meat, perhaps. Has anybody tried that yet? Would you be more scared to do that for the rest of your life, or do carnivore for the rest of your life?
I don't know. At that point, I'm risking my health either way, so might as well go vegan.
If you had no ethical, no reason, no environmental, just no, just purely health nutrition, you're going 100% fake meat diet or 100% carnivore.
Then I'd probably go
carnivore too. And some people will be surprised to hear that. Some vegans would say, "Well, the vegan meat's definitely better because you'll avoid, you know, some of these red meat carcinogen risks." And that's true. But I think the risk from 100% fake meat, 100% processed food would outweigh that. I'd go 100% carnivore over 100% fake meat if I didn't have the ethical thing keeping me from that.
I'm gonna go vegan carnivore for a day. See how I feel.
For a day. It seems like you feel pretty bad after one day of that.
Yeah, I bet just one day and I feel pretty bad. I'm gonna try that. Yeah.
You gotta have like vegan cheese and stuff, like vegan animal products.
Yeah, I'll do this meal plan, the one I shared, but the vegan version. Vegan cottage cheese, a little vegan omelet,
Good.
Some type of tuna.
All right, enough of this. We're done. I don't know how to feel about this one. This is weird. This is a weird show. I'm glad we covered it. I don't know. I struggle with trying to be against the diet and also trying to not be vegan biased. So I don't know. Anyway, there we go. That's it.
Embrace tomorrow.
The
bias, man.
What?
Embrace the bias. Don't run from it.
No, can't. I'm not going to embrace the bias. I will acknowledge it, but I'm not going to embrace it. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully some lighter hitting content. Maybe some Best Life Online stuff or some Eat This, Not That. We'll see what there is. And we'll have something fun to talk about on Thursday, as we usually do. So until then, enjoy your hump day, and we'll see you in a little while.